Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Glory to God. We know that there's nobody greater than our God. Glory to God. Nobody on heaven or earth. Welcome to another Kingdom Builders International broadcast. This is Evangelist Hannah, your host for tonight. Glory to God. And tonight we start off with Straight from the Heavens broadcast. Glory be to God, which will come on every first and second Friday at 7 p.m. Glory to God. And at this time, I have a guest speaker, Minister Jimmy Smith, that getting ready to come on. Glory be to God. Man of God, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Glory to God. Right now, Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, that the broadcast will go forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside forces in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for the man of God. I plead the blood of Jesus, Lord God, over the phone lines in the mighty name of Jesus, over the internet in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that the word of God tonight will penetrate the hearts of the people in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, amen, and glory to God. And at this time, men of God, I yield the line to you.
Amen. Grace and peace to you all. First, I just want to thank God and give him praise for allowing me this great opportunity to be here before you on tonight. And just to thank Evangelist Hannah and all those who are responsible for bringing me on tonight. For a few minutes, I want to deal with one word that I want to deal with on tonight. And also, I want to thank all the listeners out there, whether on phone or the internet. By way of internet, we want to thank God that you took time out of your schedule to join us on tonight as we go into the Word of God. The first thing I want to look at as we get ready to open it up in the Word of God, I just want to look at something, and I want to deal with one word on tonight. And I guarantee if you stay with me, if you follow along with me, you will be blessed on tonight. As I was beginning to be in my studies, I was asking God, what can I give to your people on tonight that will help them and that will encourage them, that will keep them? And the only thing that I heard that came to me was obedience. And on tonight, if you will, I just want to look into that one word on tonight. Maybe one word, but it's a very powerful word when we deal with the word obedience. And the scripture reference is where I'm coming from. We're going to look into 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And for tonight, I want to look into verses 1 through 32. If you have your Bibles or you have the internet on your phone, we're looking into 2 Chronicles. And we thank God for his word on tonight because we realize that God's word has power to heal. God's word has power to change hearts and minds of the people. And we thank God for his word on tonight as we go forth. But as we look into this word obedience on tonight, I want to first talk about the word obedience. What really is obedience? When we're dealing with obedience, what does obedience mean? Obedience, as we look into it, it means compliance with someone's wishes or even their orders. Also, obedience can mean acknowledgement of their authority, which in turn could just simply mean that we round this thing up. It could just mean being submissive or submitting to that person that's giving you an order or that's asking you to carry out wishes from them, pretty much just submitting to that person. Now, I would like to say this because I know some people say, well, we always know we deal with obedience and submit comes up or submission comes up. But in order for us to be obedient to God and his word and to the will of God, there first must be some submission. That means that we have to submit to the authority and the power of God. But as we look into the scriptures I want to look at real quick, and I'm going to try to go through these scriptures. I know there's a lot of scripture, but there's a lot that's in this as I was reading this. And we look into the first verse, and I'm going to read these scriptures real quick, and I'm going to be stopping, going back and forth. So if you just follow with me and also going in and out of the book. So if you follow with me, you will be blessed on tonight. as I read in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting at verse number 1, and I am reading the King James Version. It says, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." Now, verse number 3, it says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together and asked help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." Now, I want to stop right there. And the first thing that I want to deal with, I have a few points I want to look at. But the first point I want to deal with on tonight is seeking God. Now, here we have in this particular chapter, we have Jehoshaphat got word by somebody else that there were some people that were actually coming up against him. Not only one, there was a lot of different people that they proclaimed was actually coming up against him. And what's so interesting about this book and what's so interesting about this chapter, that after hearing this news that Jehoshaphat got, saying that there were some that were coming up to battle up against him, the Bible goes and says in verse number 3 where it says, Jehoshaphat feared. And I want to stop there in verse number 3 because it says that he feared. And I really want to deal with that because as I began to looking at it, something came to me that even though Jehoshaphat got this word saying that there was some that was coming up against him, one thing about it that I want to look at is that the Bible says that Jehoshaphat feared. But one thing Jehoshaphat did not do, and I really like what he did, but the Bible just says that even though he feared, he still set himself to seek out the Lord. And as I began to talk about the word obedience, this is my first point that I want to deal with on tonight, is number one, seeking God. Even though Jehoshaphat feared, the Bible said he still went to seek God. Now, what does that mean? He went to God about the situation. He went to God. Not only did he fear, but he went to God, seeking God in regards to what he had just heard. And after hearing these things, I could just imagine what was going through Jehoshaphat's mind when he heard that there was all these people that were actually coming up against him to do battle with him. Now, he realizing and knowing that and within himself, he had no power to take on as many as people that were actually coming up against him. But this is an interesting thing about this, that even though Jehoshaphat feared, the first thing came to his mind was to seek God. And that's why I want to encourage somebody in here on tonight that when you get to that point where you're actually seeking God for real or seeking God sincerely, you have to have that, well, when you're seeking him sincerely, there come in your mind that when I'm seeking God for something or praying to him about something, that means that at some point in my mind, I want to hear from God, and after hearing from God, therefore I have to be obedient to his word and what he's given to tell me and or how to handle the situation that I'm going to him about. And that's the first thing I want to deal with, is seeking God. In order for us to get to that obedient place, we have to learn how to seek God in our trials and our tribulations. We have to learn how that even though we may be scared, even though we may get fearful, the thing is, even Jehoshaphat even got scared. Even Jehoshaphat feared, but the Bible said one thing that I like, and that's the greatest thing, that he said, even though he feared, Jehoshaphat still sought God for this problem. Now, let's look into these scriptures, and as we go on to verse number 4, it said, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court." Now, here it is, we have Jehoshaphat is having a conversation with God. Starting in verse number 6, Jehoshaphat began to talk to God and began to have a conversation with him. And he says, as we look into verse number 6, it said, "And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built their sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if, when evil cometh up upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before the house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee, or in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Number 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Now here we see verse number 6 all the way down to verse number 13. We see here Jehoshaphat begin to have a one-on-one conversation with God. And you see he's bringing things back up to God, saying, aren't you the God of our Father? Okay, the God that is in heaven, the one that rules over everything, the God that have, aren't you the God that have power and might? Aren't you the God that none that may be able to withstand you? And here we see Jehoshaphat, even though that he fears, the point that I want to bring out to you, everybody that's out there that's listening, no matter what may be coming up against you, no matter what may happen, and we have to understand and deal with that God in these particular scripture is not dealing with just anybody. In here, he's dealing with his chosen one. He's dealing with his people that he's dealing with. And here we see that Jehoshaphat, even though he feared, the Bible said that he still began to see God, and he prayed to God about the situation, about what he had just heard, even though he got fear. But I tell somebody on tonight that even though what you have heard, or even though what you whatever that had happened or whatever that come up against you may have got you fear, may have got you bound, and you may think that there's no way out. You may think that you don't know what to do. But I stop to tell somebody on tonight, the first thing that we ought to do whenever something come up against us, the children of God, the people of God, the first thing that we ought to do is to seek God. That's the first thing that we ought to do. And not only just seek God, but we also not only seek him, but we also have to know and have in mind that after I seek him, then I have to also listen to what God is getting ready to tell me, or how what he's getting ready to give me the instruction on how to handle the situation I'm going through about. Now, with that being said, that I have to believe that what I'm praying to God about, that he will hear and answer me. Okay, now we see that conversation that is going on between God, and we see Jehoshaphat praying to God, starting at verse number 4 all the way down to verse number 13. Okay, that goes to our first point. The first thing is to seek God. The next thing I want to deal with, the next point I want to deal with, after we seek God and we're asking God or getting instructions on what we should be doing, have to understand, I know there's a lot of times we may feel like we want to do this, we may feel like we want to do that, but we have to understand that being children of God, we have to realize that we're not in this alone, we're not in this thing by ourselves, but we have to learn how to totally depend and trust in God. And that even though you may be fearful, I guarantee you, if you just pray to God, give that thing to him, wait, don't do anything unless God tells you to do it, and just listen for his voice and no other voice. No matter what friends may be telling you, if I was this, if I was you, I'll do this. If I was you, I'll do that. Don't listen to people. But I guarantee you, if you listen to God, everything will be all right. And we see here Jehoshaphat, even after being scared, what happened? We look down into verse number 15. After the end of Jehoshaphat's prayer to God, this is what happened. As we look into verse number 14, It says, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Verse number 15 will be beginning for my next point. Point number two. Listen at this. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you. Because of this prayer, because of him deciding to seek God about this situation, this is what happened. He spoke to God. He talked to God. He went to God in prayer. And this is what happened. By the word of the Lord came by a prophet, by another man of God. And here it says, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. And this is the thing that I like what he said. He said, for the battle is not yours, but is God. And that's the point I want to bring out to somebody. We have to get to the point and realize that the battle is not ours, but it's all God. Now, I want to tell you on tonight, there are some battles that we just got to fight. There are some fights that we just got to encounter. We just cannot get around when we're dealing with ourselves, when we're dealing with society and people in this world. There are some things that we just can't get around. Okay, for example, when we look at the fight for our rights, the fight for your rights on the job, the fight for your right as an American or in society, those are some things that we just have to do, or we cannot just sit by on. Those are things that we actually fight for, we do battle for. But there are some things that we have no control of. There are some things that we cannot even handle alone. So therefore, those things that we cannot handle at all, just because we are children of God, we have somebody that we can go to, and therefore we have to seek God in those things. In those things that we cannot do, or our human ability cannot exceed, then that's what we go to God for. Because we have to understand and realize that, listen, his battle is not mine, but it is the Lord. And here is the word where it says, after Jehoshaphat prayed to him, pray to God, he told him, be not afraid nor dismayed. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. I come to encourage somebody on tonight as I look into my second point, be not afraid, as I encourage somebody on tonight. I have to understand and realize those you may not understand what may be happening in your life right now, those that are listening on the internet or on your phone, there may be some things that came up against you. Well, I don't know what it is, I don't know what the problem may be. I don't even know how hard you may say. Well, you don't even know the news that I just received. You don't know what has happened. But I come to tell somebody on tonight that I bring good news on the word of God to let you know God is telling you in your situation. God is telling you right now, you may be in your midnight hour, but God is saying, be not afraid, because he's saying that I am with you, because this fight and this battle is not yours, but guess what? It belongs to me. Because there are some fights, there are some battles that we just cannot handle. There are some fights, there are some battles that we cannot touch, because if we touch it, we'll mess up the whole situation worse than what it was when it started. So those are the things that we have to turn over and we have to seek God about and give it to him, okay? And here it says, my second point, it said in verse number 15, it says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. In verse number 16, he tells them, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Zid, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Verse number 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Remember, I just spoke about that there are some battles that we just don't need to fight. There are some battles that we cannot mess with, but we have to give it all to God. And it says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. And it says, set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. What is God telling his people? What is God telling Jehoshaphat? What is he telling him? Okay, even though you have got this bad news, even though someone has came and told you that these people are coming up against you to do battle against you, yes, I know in your human ability and in your might, you cannot handle it, you cannot control it. I know in your ability and in your human ability and your might, that you cannot go up against them alone, but God is telling you that this is not your battle. God is telling you that you don't need to do anything, but he said, this is my battle. All I need you to do, he said in verse 17, is set yourself. What is God saying? God is saying, what is the word? What are you saying when he says set yourself? He's pretty much saying, bring me to my point number three, the next thing. First, we have to seek God. Second, he said, be not afraid. The next thing I want to look at, as the point number three is, being obedient to God is to stand still. After we hear that word of God when he gives it to us, now we have to listen and what God has said, and we have to obey and do what he has told us to do. And this is what he told his people. He said, stand still. He said, set yourself. Pretty much, what is he saying? In other words, he's saying, don't move, okay? He's saying, stand right there. He said, set yourself, plant yourself right there, and don't even move. Okay, but he's not really saying stop moving literally, but he's just telling them in this situation that you're dealing with, this in this situation that you came to me about, God is telling them don't put your hand in it, don't you touch it, leave it right there, because he's saying this is not your battle. God is saying this battle is not yours, but it belongs to me. Don't touch it. He said stand right there, and not only there, he didn't just say stand there, but he says, stand ye still, and guess what? This is the part that I like. This is the best part. He said, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Now, he's letting them know that if you just stand there, if you just wait on me, set yourself, don't move, be not afraid, don't worry about it. He said, that I got your back, I'm right here. He said, and watch and see what I do. When you be obedient to God and his word, and when he tells you to do something, this is what God is saying. When you stand still, when you set yourself, when you don't move in this situation, God is saying, just watch and see me work. If you just don't move, just stay right there. No matter what the situation is, no matter what somebody has told you, no matter what the doctor may have said to you, no matter your family, friends have walked out on you, but God is saying, don't worry about those things. If you just stand still, set yourself, don't move, don't put your hand in it, don't worry about it, don't touch it. God saying, just stay right there and see my salvation. See, in other words, he's saying, watch what I do. Watch me bring you out of this situation, because this is not your battle in the first place. This is me. This is my battle for me to fight for you. And that's what I like about it. We just thank God for his word. And point number three, we just stand still and set yourself and watch the salvation of the Lord. And I want to just praise God and thank God for his word. I just want to thank him that even though things have happened, that we have a God that we can call on. We have someone that we can go to, even in our midnight hour, our darkest hour. We may not be understanding what's going on in our life. We may not, it just seems like our home is all written with havoc. It seems like every time we turn around, if it ain't one thing, it's always another one, and we're not understanding what's going on. But God said, I place you in this situation, in this time, in this season. And we go through certain things, but God uses those things to get us to that place where we begin to trust in him and obey him in his word and his will. And that's what God puts us in certain situations, certain things, where we can't do nothing but trust in him. And that's what I love, and that's what he's saying in verse, and that's what he's saying in verse 17. And he tells Jehoshaphat, after he prayed to him, he tells him, just set yourself, stand still, and see my salvation. Thank God for his word when Jehoshaphat stayed right there and see the salvation of the Lord. And he said, this battle, it belongs to me and it is not yours. And I encourage somebody out there tonight, the battle that you're faced with, it may not be the battle, it may not be nothing that calls on your own, may not be in your body, but I guarantee you, I tell you, just listen at the word of God when he tells you to stand still, because there's some battle that we just can't touch. There's some battle we have to leave alone. There's some battle that we just can't do nothing but give them to God and go to prayer, and we leave it right there. Not saying literally just stand still and not do anything, but he's pretty much just saying in this particular situation that you're praying to me about, don't you touch it, don't worry about it. God said, I will take care of it. Just stand there and watch and see me work, and I will bring you out. And it will go to my next point we look at, being obedient to God. And this word obedience just keep coming up. The word obedience is just being, like I said, being submissive and acknowledgement of their authority, of the person that giving you orders. You acknowledging the authority that they have over you. So therefore, you submit under them. And that's what we're dealing with on tonight. We're dealing with being obedient to God and obedient to his word, okay? And the first thing is seeking God. And if you're seeking him for real, guess what? It's already in your mind and no doubt in your mind that if I'm seeking for God, that must mean if I'm listening for him for an answer. So therefore, I can not do it my way, but listen at God's way. It doesn't do me no good to ask somebody to help me, and I ask for their opinion on how should I handle something, and when they give me that opinion or they give me another way of handling it because my way have not been working, and if they give me another way of handling it, and I tell them to their face, well, you know what, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it the way I have already been doing it. What would be the point of me even asking them for their help if I just turn them away? So therefore, if we really seeking for God, that means we must have in our mind that once I hear from him, that means I'm going to submit to what he's telling me, and I'm going to obey and do what he told me, whether it's something I want to hear or whether it's something I don't want to hear. But if he tells me something, guess what? I'm going to listen, and I'm going to be obedient to his word. Now, as we go and look into the next point I want to look at, point number four, is not after we have sought God for a situation, after we he tells us to encourage us, be not afraid, and he tells us to stand still and don't move, don't touch it. Once we pray to God, we have to leave that thing right there, and we cannot touch it. We have to just believe God for that situation, that whatever it is, may not get your answer today. You may not get it tomorrow, but I guarantee you, don't get tired, don't get weary, don't worry about it. As long as you pray to God sincerely and you went to God about that situation, I'll tell you, stand still, which pretty much just means don't do nothing until you hear from God. Don't say nothing, don't sign nothing, don't write nothing, don't call nobody, don't do nothing until you have heard from God. And that's pretty much what he's saying right there. And after you have done that, he said, and after you have done that, you left that thing alone until God has answered your prayer, then it says, then you have to believe. Point number four, believe in God. Verse number 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper. What is he saying? So I said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Let's look at that word real quick, established. I want to look at that real quick. He said, Believe in the Lord, your God, so shall ye be established. What is God saying? Okay, what is he saying? Believe in him. He's talking to his elect people. He's talking to those believers. He's saying, believe in me. What do establish mean? Well, establish means to be set up or to be settled, deep-rooted, planted, accepted, firmly fixed, or held. That's pretty much what he's saying. When you believe in God, when you're believing in God, all those things take place. It says believing in him establishes you, which pretty much means that I'm set up, I'm settled, and that just means I don't care what may be happening, what may be going on. Because I believe in God and because I believe that he can do anything but fail, because I believe just because in my situation, you may not know what's going on in that situation, you may not understand. But I guarantee if you believe in God and believe God for a turnaround, you believe God to meet you in your situation, you believe God to move in your situation, that's what happens. It establishes you and it sets you in a place where now I'm settled or deep-rooted and planted. Now I can say because I believe in God, I ain't going nowhere. And because I believe in God, though I may not see it right now, but because I believe in him and I have faith that God is going to show up, or God is going to show up on my behalf, and he's going to take care of my situation on my behalf, That means I'm deep-rooted, I'm planted, I'm accepted, I'm firmly fixed or held by his word or by God because I believe in him. And this is what happened. As we look into the rest of these scriptures, we're going to find out what actually happened because of Jehoshaphat's obedience to God and doing what God had told him to do after he had prayed to God. We're going to look and see what actually happened to him and all of Judah after they had did what God had told them to do. And the next thing is to believe in God is my next point, my fourth point. Okay, the next point, first we have to seek God. Second, be not afraid in that situation. They'll come up against you. Number three, stand still. Set yourself. Don't move. See the salvation of the Lord. Number three, and the fourth point we look at, believe in God. Believing in God, because when you believe in God, it establishes you, and also not in God, but also believing and believing in God's chosen elect. Okay? It said, you shall prosper. Because everything that comes from God, he gives to his elect. And his elect, therefore, then relays it to the next one. So he says, believing in God, it establishes you, and believing in his elect, you shall, so you shall prosper. If we keep going and we're looking down, the next thing, next point we have to do, even in that obedience, not doing nothing, not moving, standing still, seeing God's salvation work for us and not us. We don't have to work in our head. We don't have to do anything. We just wait on God. And after, and because we wait on him, we believe God for a turnaround in our situation. And after that, what we have to do is praise God. After that, we have to praise God. That's pretty much putting a seal on it, putting a stamp on it, pretty much just saying, because I believe in you, God, because of what I have just prayed to you about, I believe that you're going to show up on my behalf. I don't know when you're going to show up. I don't know how you're going to do it. But just because I know it, I'm going to stand right here. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to stand still. I'm going to wait on you no matter how long it's going to take. I'm not going to be sidetracked. I'm going to continue to listen for your voice, for you to give me guidance and direction to handle this situation. And because I do that, because I'm doing that, I believe in you and in your word and believe that you will show up. And because I do that, now I can praise God. And as we look into this other scripture, 22, verse number 22, it says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Look at what happened. We give God all the praise. See, God puts you in a situation where when you come out of it, you know without a doubt that nobody did it but God. Nobody did it but God. There's a song that was made, and the title of this song is God Did It. And for somebody to make a song like that, they have to have some kind of experience in a situation where they were backwards against the wall, where they didn't have nobody else to call on, but they was in a situation where they couldn't call or trust in nobody but God. And when God brought them out, they knew that after all else failed, they knew that didn't nobody do it but God. And this is what they did in verse number 22. Because they believe in God, the Bible said, and when they began to sing, they sang and they praised. Another point, these are our weapons of defense. Praise while we're in what we're in. Don't worry about it. Don't let it scare you. Don't let it sidetrack you. Don't let it get you to do things that you know that you shouldn't be doing, things that's not right, things that are ungodly. First thing, we have to make sure that we seek God and we stay away from those things. But also, it says in here in verse number 22 that at the end, and when they began to sing and to praise, and when they began to sing and praise, the Lord, Not their mother, not the priest, not Judah, but the Bible said the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, against all of those that was coming up against Jehoshaphat. And the only thing he did was saw God. The only thing he did was pray to God. Yet he was afraid, but he still, the first thing came to his mind was to seek God. And because of his obedience, after seeking God and listening to God's voice and what he should do or how he should handle the situation, after listening to the voice of God and listening to the words of God and what he had given him to do, this is what happened. It said, after they had, at the beginning when they began to sing and praise, the Bible said that the Lord set up an ambushment against all of those that was coming up against Jehoshaphat and Judah to do battle with them. Now, remember before we read where God had told them that you just set yourself still. He said, for this battle is not yours, but it is mine. He did not just say it, but God also proved it. And there's somebody here, somebody out there on tonight that have met God in that situation. There's somebody on here tonight that have met God in that midnight hour. There's somebody here on tonight that have been in a place or been in a situation where they knew, didn't nobody do it, but God. And this is where we're at now. God said, this is not your battle, but it's mine. And he did not. And that's what I like about God. That's what I love about him. He confirms the word. He confirms everything. He don't just say things. God proves. God don't just say it, but he does. And this is what he did. Not only that, after saying that, it said that when they began to pray, sing and pray, it said the Lord set ambushment against them. And it says, verse number 22, it says, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. All because of Jehoshaphat's obedience, this is what happened. Because of Jehoshaphat's obedience, this is what happened. They didn't complain. They didn't moan. They didn't say, God, we can't do it. They didn't say, I don't know what's going on. They didn't say, they didn't have nothing to say. But what did they do? They began to sing, and they began to praise. Those are our weapons. Prayer, praise. Our weapons that we use when we're going through. Our weapon we use in the midnight hour. Our weapons that we use when we don't know what's going on, we use the word and we use prayer. And because they obeyed and they was obedient to God's word, they began to sing and they began to praise God. Already, even before the battle was won, they began to praise God. That's another point I want to bring up to somebody out there tonight, that you don't have to wait till the battle is over, because even though we know that the battle is already won, because God is fighting the battle for me. So now what I need to do is just, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know what he's going to do to fix it, but I know God is going to show up on my behalf. So guess what? I'm going to praise him in advance, already knowing that God is going to show up for me. So just because of that, I'm going to praise God before the battle even starts. And this is what happened. Before the battle even starts, the Bible said when they begin, at the point where they begin to sing and praise God, the Bible said the Lord set an ambushment against those that came up against them. I want to tell somebody, the Lord God inhabits the praises of his people. That's what moves him. Praise. Prayer. Our weapons that we use for defense. Because we got to realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. So therefore, our weapons we use, we don't use our hands. We don't use our feet. But we use prayer and we use praise. And that's what moves God. And because they did those things and because they obeyed him, God moved on their behalf. He had already told them before they even went out. He said, when you go out there tomorrow, don't even worry about it. You ain't got to do nothing. He said, you don't even need to fight. That's a God for you. And we can give God some praise right now for a God that will fight our battle for us when the battle gets too tough, when the battle gets to the point where it exceeds our human ability. We can thank God on tonight that we have a God that will intercede for us. We have a God that will go before us. We have a God that will make provision for us. Even when we don't know the provision, even when we can't see the provision, God has already made the way, because God is saying, for I am with you. Be not afraid. Don't worry about it. Don't you touch it. Don't put your hand in it. But because you are mine, I have chosen you, guess what? All you got to do is stand still, because this battle belongs to me, and just see my salvation and watch my hand at work and see how I bring you out of this situation. So now we just begin to praise God. Weapons of defense. That's the point that I want to bring out. The last one is praising God. What is praise? Thanking God for those things that he has done, what he's doing, what he's getting ready to do. What is praise? Praising God. Acknowledging him for what he has done. When we praise people, we praise them because they did these things, or they did made some kind of accomplishment. We give those praise. We give people praise where praise is due. So God is always worthy of praise, because the Bible tells us that let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So that means there should never be a time when we begin to give God some praise. I don't care whether everything is going your way, whether everything is not going your way. There's never a time where we should not be giving God some praise. And because praise is the thing that we use as our weapons of defense, and praise is what moves God. So I want to encourage somebody on tonight, no matter what. There may be somebody on here on tonight that may be experiencing something, or maybe in the middle of something. You may be in your midnight hour. You may be in a moment in your life where everything is breaking loose on you. You may be at a point in your life where you just don't know which way to go, or you just don't know who you can trust, who you can call. I stop here on tonight to encourage somebody on tonight that you will just begin to trust in God, that you begin to seek God for that situation. Not only seek him, be not afraid, stand still and leave it there. When you pray to God, don't touch it, don't mess with it, leave it there, wait on God, wait on an answer from God, to hear from him, and what he tell you to do, that's what you do. And we're going to see in this scripture that not only that, you believe that whatever you're praying to God about, that God is going to show up on your behalf. So now you can go ahead on and give him some praise, because he is worthy to be praised. Now look at what happened. After they had done this, after this prayer that Jehoshaphat did, that he prayed, to God, this is what happened because of his obedience. I'd like to look at this real quick. Now, verse number 23, it says, "For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another." Look at that. Because of their praise, it confuses their enemy. Because of their praise, guess what? They wasn't even able to put a hand on Jehoshaphat and Judah. Because of their praise, because they began to sing and praise to God, guess what? It confused the enemy. And they began to lay hands on one another. They began to lay hands on one another and help to destroy each other. That shows you what a God we serve and what he won't do for his people. Because he said, if you walk up right before me, he said, there will be no good thing that he will withhold from you. And you can cash that in, take it to the bank, because God's word is already sealed. And if he said it, guess what? You got to believe it. And this is what he's saying in this verse right here. And he let them know that after they had done these things, after they have saw him, and he told them what to do, these are the things that happen. And we're going to see there are some benefits in obeying God's word. There's some benefits in being obedient. There's some benefits in acknowledging the authority that God has in your life. There is some benefit when you submit to God and his word. There's some benefits, and we're going to look at those benefits. There's a few that I want to look at. But first, we're going to deal with what happened to the people, his enemy. We're going to deal with what happened to Jehoshaphat and Judah, enemy that tried to come up against them. That not only, listen to what it says, that they helped to destroy another. And then verse 24, it said, "And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth." And guess what it said? It said, "And none escaped." Look at that. Glory to God. It said, "And none escaped." Didn't nobody get away from this thing, because God said he fought this battle for you. He said, "If anybody come up against you, you bring that thing to me." God said, "I'll take care of them. You ain't got to touch nobody. You ain't got to do nothing. And on that job, you ain't got to worry about what they trying. They lying on you. They doing these things. You ain't got to worry about none of that." God said, "I'll take care of them," because he said, "The vengeance is not yours, but it belongs to me." He said, "So this battle here," he said, "I'm going to take care of this battle. Don't you touch it. Don't do nothing. You just stay right there and just watch and see what I do. Watch me work. And this is what God said. And God can take care of this thing better than you. I want to just say this, just add this note in here, that we can do more on our knees than we can do with other people. We can do more on our knees praying to God than complaining. We can do more on our knees praying to God than we can do calling our family or our friends. We can do more by praying to God than doing anything else. And there's some benefit that comes along with that. When we are obedient, when we are obedient to God's word, there are some benefits that we have. When we look at verse number 25, it says, "And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils of them, after they had taken each other out, after they had laid their hands on one another, they was confused, they didn't know what to do. So because God set up an ambushment against them, this is what happened. They began to take each other out. And the Bible says in verse 25, it says, Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils of them. They found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off from themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so, because it was so much." Look at this. Because of their obedience to God's word, this is what happened. God said, not only that I'm going to be here for you, not only am I going to fight this battle for you, but after the battle is over, God is saying to you on tonight that after the battle is over, everything that you lost, God said, I'm giving that back to you. And not only that, but you're going to have more. You ain't going to have no room to put it. You ain't going to have nowhere, no room to find, to put these things. But God said, I'm going to restore back unto you those things that was taken away from you. And not only did those things, but you're going to have more than you ever did before you even went in that situation. Now, this is what God is telling his people, okay? After they're being obedient to his word, it says it took them 3 days gathering all these things up, okay, because it was so much. And I believe we're actually living in a time and a day where God is getting ready to restore back unto his people. I believe that God is getting ready to restore back those things that we lost in those things that came up against us. I believe God is getting ready to restore marriage. I believe God is getting ready to restore people in business. I believe God is getting ready to restore people's mind, body, spirit, soul. I believe God is getting ready to restore his people back in the place of authority, back in the place of leadership. God is getting ready to move, and I guarantee if you just be obedient to God and his word, and you just stand there and watch and see the salvation of him and see what happens in the outcome. Because God is getting ready. You don't want to miss it. You want to be there. I guarantee you, you just obey his word. God, you're going to be in a season where you're going to be blessed beyond measure. And this is what God is showing right here in this lesson, that after, because of their obedience, these are the things that happen. Now, verse number 29, and I'm almost done. Verse number 29, it says, "And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemy of Israel." Verse number 30. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet for his God, for his God gave him rest round about. And verse 31, and Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 30 and 5. So look at what happened. Even after all of those things, he was still blessed beyond measure. He gave them all his riches. It took them 3 days to do the gathering of all these things because of their obedience. There were some of the benefits that came behind that. All those things restored back to them and even more that they couldn't even have room. It took them 3 days to get all these things. But now we see where even in verse number 30, it says, so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. It said, for his God gave him rest round about. That means he didn't have no worries. He didn't have to worry about anything because God gave him rest. He was at ease in his spirit. He was settled. Okay? The Bible said he was settled. He was fixed, firmly fixed. He was deep rooted, planted, and he was set up. God set him up because of his obedience. God set up Judah because of their obedience, because of them listening to God and obeying his word. He set them up to the point where now they can rest. They don't have to worry about anything. Their enemies have been defeated by God. It wasn't by their hand, but it was by God, because the battle was his. And after that, it said, after he had gave them rest, It said, then Jehoshaphat reigned. So we want to thank God on tonight for his word. And I pray that there was something that was said on tonight that would help somebody, that would encourage them just to be obedient to God's word, because there are some benefits when you obey God's word. And as we look into this particular chapter, we see how just because of Jehoshaphat's word, because of Jehoshaphat's obedience to God and his word, he was blessed beyond measure. Judah was blessed. There were some benefits that came about. And because of that, he gave them rest. They didn't have to worry about anything anymore. And then that's when Jehoshaphat began to reign in Judah. And we can bless God on tonight for his word, because I believe that God is saying the same thing today to some of us today, that those things that are coming up against us, those things that we cannot fight, God is saying, you seek me, leave that thing right here with me. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. But I just need you to stand still. And when you stand still, you just wait on me and watch when I show up and see how I handle it. And because we have to understand and realize that a lot of times we can't touch anything because we are operating the wrong mind. We have the wrong mindset because our ways are not like God. Our thoughts are not like his. And he operates in ways that we just cannot understand. He does things in ways we just may not understand. But in this race that we're in, it's not all up to us just to understand. But the main thing we have to understand and realize that we got to just trust in God and believe him at his word. So I pray on tonight that there's somebody here, somebody there that may have heard this word, and we're dealing with obedience to know that if you have not been obedient to God, I bid you on tonight. I challenge you on tonight that after tonight that if you be just obey the voice of God, obey his word, be under subjection to his will and his ways, I guarantee you God will begin to bless you beyond measure. He begin to restore unto you those things that have been taken away from you. And God can do it just like that. Those battles that you have been facing, you don't worry about it. You have been fighting those battles, and they have not been going nowhere. I tell you on tonight, stop right now. Don't touch it. Leave that thing with God and watch the salvation of him. Just obey his word. So I thank God. We give God praise on tonight. Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise and honor and glory tonight, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I cover the men of God in the blood of Jesus. I come against any spirits of backlash or retaliation that may try to come against the men of God for the word that he brought forth tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. See, the enemy didn't want this broadcast to come forth, but it did. The word of God went forth, it went forth strong, and it went forth powerful. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I thank you, Minister Jimmy, for the powerful word that God used for you to bring forth tonight. You're going to have to come back on again as a guest speaker. Glory to God. I really enjoyed the way God used you, man of God. And I pray that he will continue to supply every need for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So, yes, we got to continue to praise him no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're faced with. Just shout hallelujah. Give him the highest praise. Glory to God, because he's truly worthy. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the lifter of our head. He's our light in this dark world. Glory be to God, because we know we dwell under the shelter of the Most High God. And they may fall to our left and 10,000 our right, but his word says, shall no harm come near us. So while we're praying, we got to praise him. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
And trust him.
Yes.
Because he's able. And we just think back of what he has brought us out of already. Knowing that he's able to do more.
Hallelujah.
So at this time, men of God, if you have some last words to say, last comments, you can say them now. Glory to God.
But I just want to say briefly, as I said before, I just pray somebody heard something on tonight. Will actually help them, that will keep them when we're dealing with the word obedience, to see maybe there was something that they didn't see in that before that they see now that would encourage them to just begin to obey God's word and see him work on their behalf. There may be somebody out there that may be dealing with something that they have yet to understand what may be going on, have yet to see any results, have yet to see anything happen for them on their behalf. But I just pray on tonight that after tonight that their troubles will be over, everything will be set free for them in the name of Jesus, that everything that they have been praying and seeking God for, that he will show up on their behalf because of their obedience to him and his word and under his subjection. We thank God for them on tonight. We pray and we will be interceding on their behalf for those that are out there on tonight because there is a word for God's people to restore back unto them. And that's what I want to do on tonight, is restore back to them, give them a word that will encourage them, that will restore them, that will revive them, and put fire back into them to do the will of God. Not saying that they're not going to be going through anything, but not saying that the enemy won't try to come up against them or attack them, but because we realize that we have God in our life and we just stay obedient to his word, God will work on our behalf. Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. And go tell somebody about the broadcast tonight. It will be in the archives. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just type in Straight from the Heavens. Glory to God. Glory to God. And this broadcast will come on every first and second Friday at 7 p.m. Straight from the Heavens broadcast with Prophetess Pamela Bell Hines. Glory to God. And again, men of God, we thank you for coming forth with such a mighty word. May God bless you. And people of God, Kingdom Builders International, love you. But guess what? God loves you even more. And you all continue to have a blessed evening. Goodbye.